Matthew 28, verse 16. Let's just read it. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them." 17, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Okay, I've probably heard this, I was thinking, and I think I've heard this preached, this section of Scripture, probably more than any other single section of Scripture. It's just such a common, and it's because it's so powerful and so good, and it's really just the as simple as it is, it's what we're supposed to be doing. If there's any question what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, I mean, this is the number one answer. There's a lot of things inside of that. And so all I want to do this morning, I know since we've all heard this preached and we've read it so many times, I'm not going to tell you guys anything new about this section of Scripture. What I do want to do is just simplify it, give you guys a reminder, just kind of refresh in our hearts what the Great Commission is, what it is exactly that Jesus is saying. I'm not going to give you guys a system for making disciples or tell you guys how to make disciples. I'm just going to stick to just what this says and hopefully stir our hearts again because we need it. And we need stirred about stuff like this. It's just, there's just so much warfare, you know. There's warfare and about every section of Scripture. But I was just thinking, you know, I've heard this a million times. We're in a ministry that's always talking about this, and I, you know, I can read this over and over, and I know this is our call, and I can know this verse inside and out, and still I forget so often that what we're simply called to do is make disciples. I get so sidetracked, and I know we all do, and it's because there's warfare. And so I'm just going to keep reminding us what it is here. The first part, I just to remind you of the context, this is after the resurrection. So there's just some crazy things going on. Obviously, they roll back the stone and the tomb's empty and there's kind of rumors floating around. Some people have seen Jesus and there's people are trying to figure out, you know, what's going on. There's some here that doubt and then he shows up all of a sudden. So the resurrected Christ shows up. They worship him, but some doubted. And that's just, we got to set up this amazing context to what this is. The resurrected Jesus comes and says two or three sentences. This is what I want you to do. He shows up to different people at different times, but this is the main event of him showing up after his death and resurrection. And this is what he has to say, and that's the value we need to have for this. God of the universe, in as a man, comes and dies and is buried, and he raises from the dead in power. And he shows up and he gives us one last thing he wants to throw in for us to do and leave us with that. And right after this, what happens is if we look in like the Mark version, which might or might not be the same event, but the other gospels, is he ascends and he sits down at the right hand of the Father and then the disciples go. So that's the event. He tells us one last thing and then he rises to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And this is all he has to say. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Okay? I can't just start with the verse that says, "Go and make disciples." I have to start with this one verse he says before that. "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Because that's the starting point for making disciples. Without that, what authority do any of us, me or you, have to go and make a disciple? What confidence do we have for me to go and take someone and say, "Hey, come follow me as I follow Christ," or "I'm going to tell you how to walk, I'm going to teach you and baptize you and teach you how to observe God's commands"? What ability do I have unless I start from this place of power that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, okay? So Jesus received that from the Father, and I could just leave it as that, as an obvious statement, but just a reminder, that means everything in heaven and in earth is at least potentially under his control. That means he has no power is greater than his power. He has the ability to do whatever he pleases, and he see, if I'm going to go make a disciple, if I'm just trusting in my own ability to talk them into it or to even lead them, I mean, immediately I'm going to look at myself and say, I have nothing to give. I'm not good enough. I fall far too short. Look at me. I'm a mess. I'm not a good enough teacher. What right do I have to baptize? I have so many faults, just like we all do, and I'm not going to have anything to give. But if I'm going from this place, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. If I have faith in him to draw on a person's heart and for the Holy Spirit to speak into someone else and for him to even have enough power to use me in my weakness to give them words they need to hear to be discipled, I'm trusting when I go make disciples in the Lord who has all authority. I've got to start there. Okay? If I don't start there, I don't have any confidence and I'm going to eventually flake out. And it's so easy to do. So from that place of all authority, he starts in, it's 19, and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." Okay. So the ultimate call is just that, make disciples. And what that phrase really means is just as simple as there's a teacher and a learner. That's as simple as what it is. Make disciples, okay? One guy's teaching, one guy's learning, and whether it was in, you know, this is obviously in terms of your Christian walk, but whether it's in terms of a job or whatever, if you're making a disciple, you're training them to do what you know how to do until they get to the point where they can do it as good as you, okay? And so that's what it is. It's training someone to do what you do. And how I kind of laid this out in my notes is I looked at it, I said, okay, here's the main theme. Make disciples, okay? And underneath that, underneath make disciples, there's three things I see here, three specific commands about making disciples. The first one is your very first word in 19. It says go, okay? Go. That's the second one is going to be baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And your third one is going to be teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, okay? So that's not all making disciples it's not just those three things, but Jesus included these three things as main themes in how to make a disciple. And so I want to start with these because I'm talking about warfare. There's so much warfare against all three of these things. This first word, go, when I was studying this is only three or four verses, and I'm studying it, and I'm writing down what I'm thinking, and just stopping at that one word, okay? Go. That was the biggest word for me specifically in studying this out, because I think that's the hardest one. That's, you know, I actually think that teaching and baptizing is a little bit easier than going. Isn't that weird? Going should really be the easiest one, but there's so much. I just immediately in my mind I started writing, why do I not go? And I came up with I wrote cares of this life, I wrote the distractions, I wrote fear of man or what people think or fear of or what's going to happen or, you know, maybe this isn't going to go like I think it will. There's so much warfare around this one simple word, go, okay? And so what I did, I was like, man, I wrote these things down. I'm like, there's so many verses that you could use here to really combat any of these things. I just want to stir you up with these couple of verses to really challenge if any of those things struck home about why are we not going. And I challenge you to do that. Think, why am I not going? Why am I not, you know, why am I staying here? Why am I staying in my comfortable place? Why am I not making a disciple? And I wrote Joshua 1:9. It's that beginning of Joshua where Moses dies and then his role kind of gets passed on to Joshua. And the Lord says it several times, be strong and courageous. Over and over and over, he says it to Joshua, because I think Joshua needed it. But 1:9 is just so specific, and it's almost exactly like this Great Commission. He starts off with saying, have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. That's almost exactly like this Matthew 28. He starts off with this confidence that, haven't I commanded you? I'm the one that's telling you to do this. You're not on your own. I'm giving you authority. I'm giving you power to do this. Have I not commanded you? That's the same way that Matthew 28 starts out. Then he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't let anything shake you. The Lord God is with you wherever you go. He finishes off with this confidence that not only am I giving you power to do it, but I'm going to be with you the whole time, step by step, day by day, all the way to the end. I'm going to be with you wherever you go. That's the same way he finishes Matthew 28:2. He says, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You see the comparison? So I just want to right there, if we could grab hold of that verse, that because God's with me and he's going to be with me to the end, that I can have courage and be strong and courageous, okay? Because of those two things, that wipes out half of my list I had for why do I not go? Because of fear and what people think and what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out. That wipes out most of that, just being strong and courageous based on my trust in the Lord. Another thing I wrote down, I know this is kind of specific, but I think it applies to people. I was thinking I think everyone kind of thinks this at some time in their life. What if God calls me to go away over here, away from people I love, away from father and mother and sister and brother and land and, whatever else, all these things I have and all these things I care about and cherish. And I mean, don't other people think that? I think that all the time. Just like, what if God calls me here? And how tough would that be? How hard would it be to leave my friends? And Mark 10:29, though, is just... is so good for this. Mark 10:29, it says, Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or land for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold. Here's the thing, now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and land with persecutions, and also in the age to come, eternal life, but many who are first will be last and the last first, okay? What that's saying is that it amazes me. I get that, if I leave those things in this life that I'm going to get eternal rewards. I get that. I think most of us get that. That's awesome. But he throws in not only that, but he says, you get all those things 100-fold now in this time, okay? If I leave father and mother and house and land and everything else, in this life, in this time, I'm going to get those things 100-fold. And what that looks like, I think, is not that he's going to, if I leave my mother, he's going to give me 100 mothers. But I think the comfort and love that I get from my mother, I think he's going to multiply that 100-fold, whatever that looks like. I think he's just going to be the one that provides that. And so ultimately what I'm trying to say because of that verse is, yeah, we should have some kind of fear about leaving things we love and some kind of hesitation in our heart, but if we look forward to the promise that Jesus gives in Mark 10:29, then I can say, yes, but that's going to be hard, but God's going to provide for me and be that to me 100 times more than anything I have now. And so following his command is going to be worth it no matter what. I know I'm going to have more joy in following him than I would staying here where I'm comfortable. And so Mark 10:29, Joshua 1:9, those are just two, and there's a million more. We could just sit here, all day and go through verses of how I can combat that, but main theme of that, there's so much warfare against going, and I would challenge you to trust the Lord all out and go for it. And here's the second thing of this. I was just thinking, Christians can be just about as bad as anybody about trying to figure out what the Lord wants them to do. And I think that's the other main thing that keeps us from going. It's like, okay, I'll go, here I am, but what do I do? Who do I go to? Who do I share with? And I just wanted to throw out just a minor encouragement here. Just, sometimes, if we looked at the Mark 16 version of this, okay, the end of Mark 16, it kind of says the same thing. It throws in a couple extra things about what all would happen to people who are following him. And then it says, at the very end of Mark 16, in verse 19, it says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And 20, this is awesome. And they went out and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Okay? So what is that saying? That's saying that they heard this call to go and make disciples of all nations. And what they did, they just did that. They went out and preached everywhere. I don't think they necessarily waited in a room and tried to figure out where specifically they were all supposed to go. I think they went out and preached. And here's the key. As they were going, the Lord accompanied them and showed signs with them, and I think he showed them as they're going. I think there's a really key thing about finding the Lord's will for your life that you almost have to step out by faith and start going before he reveals to you what path you're going on, okay? Sometimes, and most of the time, this is what I do, I'm kind of sitting here waiting. I need more specific leading before I go, and maybe the Lord does that sometimes. I'm not going to say he doesn't, but if you've been sitting for a while and trying to analyze and figure out exactly what the Lord wants, and you just don't know, and you're continually in this rut, I would challenge you, go. Go just with this mindset that I'm going to obey this command blindly. I'm going to make disciples, so I'm going to go. I'm going to start going. I don't know what it looks like. I'm just going to go and try to make disciples. And as I'm going, the Lord's just going to lead me and guide me and bring me to the right person. That's a walking by faith, okay? I don't have to have it all planned out ahead of time. I got to get to the other two things. But yeah, there's so much warfare about going. That's the hardest thing. Once we go, the rest of this becomes easy. The second thing, he says, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Second part of discipleship. Now, you know, the warfare against this thing is that it's almost overlooked nowadays. Baptism is almost, I think so, it's almost an overlooked thing. And I know it's overlooked because as I was reading it, I almost didn't even talk about it. Because it's like, that just seems so obvious, you know, go and baptize. But as I study this out, and from everything I can find about this, in this time period, when they're making a decision to get baptized, it's a little bit different than what we do. You know, we can go get baptized so easily. We go to the Crewells pool, and we can get baptized, and it's easy, and everyone applauses, you know, and everyone celebrates, and we have a meal, and everyone's so happy, and it's great. But in this time, if for someone to get baptized, you're marking yourself for persecution, because remember how persecuted Christians were at this time. And for you to do this outward expression of what the Lord's done for you inwardly, for you to do it outwardly in this time period, man, that's a big deal because everyone's like, that guy's a Christian, that guy's following the Lord, and that's just going to bring on persecution and maybe even martyrdom, okay? Maybe even death. And so baptism, all I want to do with this little section is just kind of raise our value for it again, hopefully, just with a couple little things, but... you know, if you think about it, these guys knew that going into it. They knew they were going to be persecuted more for baptism if they're showing people in this way that they're following Jesus. And yet they valued it so much that they said, I'm going to get baptized anyway because it's worth it to me that much to be obedient to the Lord because he said to. Sometimes I don't even, you know, he just said to. I don't know exactly what all it does for me spiritually, but he said to. And so in obedience, I'm going to do it, even if it leads to more persecution. And man, I wish we had the same thing. And not only for us to be baptized, because I'm guessing most of us actually are, but to consider that as we're going, that if I'm going to get people baptized, what I'm doing is I'm going with this mindset to get believers who are all out followers who'll do anything to be obedient, okay? Who'll do anything to glorify what Jesus did on the cross. Who'll go through any amount of trial or tribulation or put themselves up to anything to get that. And so, for me personally, my walk took off at baptism. I don't know. I'm not going to say I don't know why, okay? But, you know, my walk was kind of floundering around. I was kind of reading sometimes at church every once in a while. But then I made that decision. I just know the Lord is really working in me. And I got baptized. And, man, my walk just took off. And there's just something so powerful in it. And don't let it get overlooked in our time, you know, because we don't have as much persecution around it. The last thing I have is teaching. Obviously, there's a great deal of warfare around teaching and just with false teachers and everything else. But that's not really what this is about. This is about you teaching, okay? This isn't about figuring out everyone else's teaching. This is about following a simple command that you teach as you're going and making disciples. You teach people to obey and to observe what he's commanded, okay? And you see the warfare around that already is how many of us don't feel qualified to teach anybody. I don't know enough. I mean, who's thought that? I don't really know enough to teach. I don't really, especially you young people, I don't know enough to explain anything. I'm not good at talking, whatever we think. Most of us don't see ourselves as teachers, and that's completely fine. What I would say is there is a little bit of obedience that has to happen here where You're not teaching everyone to follow every single thing. You're not teaching perfect theology to everybody. You know, you don't have to come at it like you know everything about God. But what you do is you take and you teach. This is just so simple. Just the little things that you've learned. You know, that's all it's got to be. If Chris doesn't know anything else about the Lord yet to this point, but he knows how to pray, man, go make a disciple and teach them what you know. Don't have this huge expectation where you have to teach them every perfect theology. Teach them to pray. And it's like, man, I don't know much. I do know how to pray. I can teach you that. And I remember Zeb's back here. I remember when you first started working with youth, which was maybe like almost 10 years ago, I don't know. And I remember he came to me and he said, man, the best thing about teaching these guys is I have to grow so much now. I mean, nothing pushes you to grow more than having to have something to teach someone else. Because now I have to be in the scriptures. I have to be one step ahead of them, so I have something to give them. It just challenges you so much. And so there's such a great reward in you growing as a Christian if you make this simple decision to go make disciples. But yeah, it's just so easy. You don't have to know so much. Just teach what you do know. Whatever you're good at, just teach it. And then keep one step ahead of them. Learn something else from someone teaching you and teach it to them. And so there's no real system here. It's just being obedient to these three simple things. Yeah. Awesome. That's perfect. What, that was 1 John what? 1 John 2:27. Yeah. So, exactly. And then he finishes up with just this thing, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Again, the Mark one was saying how, and from there they just went out and they told everybody, and God started showing signs as they went out. It's just the perfect place, I think, for Matthew to end. You know, there's all this stuff, and then there's this climax of Jesus dying and resurrecting, and then there's this last command, and then it just kind of leaves you hanging. You kind of wonder, why doesn't Matthew say anything else? And that's just it. But it's really such a perfect place for it to end, because really the rest of the story from that point is us. It's the church. It's what the church is going to go on to do, because he says, here's your last command, and I'm with you in it all the way to the end of this age. So until the Lord returns, he's with us, and he's with us specifically in this command, and he's going to be with us in it. And so we finish this. That's the cool thing. We're the ones who finish the rest of this book by just simply obeying the simple command to go. And so, man, just this is kind of a different form of teaching. I really just wanted to do more encouraging, okay? Just will give you a little confidence. This is pretty simple. Simple stuff. It's more about obedience than anything else. More than talent or gifting or skill or knowledge. It's more about obedience. And the Lord works with you as you go. And every single person in here can be obedient. Okay? Amen.